But it's time to get started, so we're going to do that right now. And it's always a wonderful thing to gather in the name of the Lord, to worship Him. And we're going to be doing that very thing in just a moment. But before we sing even one song this morning, we do need to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, seeking Thy guidance, Thy direction, asking that Thy perfect will would be done, asking, O God, for Thy inspiration, praying that Thou wouldst give us the ability to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst abide over this entire service, fill us all with the Holy Ghost. Let there be a move of Thy Spirit here this morning, we pray, and we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number one in the hymnal this morning, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. From the fall. Hail Him who saves you by His grace, and crown Him Lord of all. Hail Him who saves you by His grace, and crown Him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to Him all majesty ascribe, and crown Him Lord of all. To Him all majesty ascribe, and crown Him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at His feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope you like singing, because when we get to heaven, that's going to be an everlasting song. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 46 and sing, I Will Praise Him. Yeah. steam. Then God's fire upon the altar of my heart was set aflame. I shall never cease to praise Him. Glory, glory to His name. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad He took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people. Each stain. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people. For His blood can wash away each stain. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, why don't we go to number 64 and sing, I See a Crimson Stream.
To turn away. crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves, which reach the throne of God, are sweeping over me. You've sinned and no use to pray. I look away to Jesus, and He tells me to say, I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves, which reach the throne of God, are sweeping over me. And when we reach the a crimson stream of blood, it flows from Calvary. Its waves, which reach the throne of God, are sweeping over me. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves, which reach the throne of God, are sweeping over me.
Jesus. Well, why don't we go to number 273 and sing At the Cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross,
was at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
To that cross so he could take our sins away. Praise the Lord for that. Why don't we go to number 149 and sing "He Took My Sins Away"? Now on him I roll my every care. Took our sins away. You know, He's the only one who can do it. There isn't some priest out there that can take your sins away. Only Jesus can do that. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy many blessings. We thank Thee for Thy sustaining power. We thank Thee that Thou hast kept us. And we ask, O God, for Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy wonderful name. And I pray, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here this morning and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, As I'm sure most of you know, after the service today, we are going to be having our Thanksgiving dinner. And after that, we're going to go ahead and have another worship service, sing songs for maybe an hour or so, and just have a wonderful time worshiping the Lord. And we will do that immediately following our Thanksgiving dinner. Praise the Lord. And that'll be a wonderful thing. And also, I just wanted to thank everyone who helped us clean up around here last week. That's wonderful. We appreciate your help so very much. It does take a lot of work with the upkeep for this place, so thank you for that. And we're going to sing one more song this morning before we get started in the Word. Number 22, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Closer walk with Jesus. Glory to God. Well, we are going to get started in the Word. And I am going to call this message this morning, Redeeming the Time. Redeeming the Time. Before we get started in our study, we will be starting in 2 Kings chapter 20 to begin with. But before we read even one verse, I'm going to pray right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, seeking thy guidance, thy direction, as we study thy scriptures, as we look upon thy holy word. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst move upon us with thy spirit. Give us the understanding we need, for it is only by thy mercy and thy grace that we can comprehend. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst fill us all with thy spirit as we read these words today. Inspire us, O God, move upon our hearts, change us for the better, perfect us, complete us, we pray, Lord. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are starting in 2 Kings chapter 20, and I got to tell you, I was inspired to preach this message this morning, mainly because of daylight savings time. You know, we all had to set our clocks back last night. And, you know, my wife commented on that. She said, well, if anybody forgot to do that this morning, they'd show up at church an hour early, I guess. I see no one did that, but praise the Lord. It is nice to have that extra hour, of course. It's really, they're just giving us back the one they stole in the spring, but it's nice to have that extra hour. And, you know, Hezekiah, he was a man who was given more time also, quite a bit more time. He was a king in Judah, the 13th king of Judah, and he was somewhat of a rarity in Judah because he was a good king, a righteous king. You didn't really see a lot of those. There were a few. Josiah was another righteous one. There were a few others, but for the most part, all of the kings of Judah and Israel after the split, after they divided up, they were all wicked, and they did some horrible things, but Hezekiah, he was a righteous king, and he put a stop to all of the idolatry in Israel, in Judah, I should say, and he put a stop to that. He tore down their groves and all of the wicked, evil things where they worshiped those false gods, and that was a wonderful thing. Unfortunately, when his son Manasseh came into power after Hezekiah died, Manasseh undid all of those things that Hezekiah had done, but Hezekiah was a righteous king, as righteous as a king could possibly be. We know that when we refer to a man as righteous, we know that that's only in comparison to other men, really, because in truly the only one who is righteous is God himself, and any righteousness we do have comes from the Lord, only by his mercy and his grace. But we are in 2 Kings chapter 20, and we're going to read about King Hezekiah, how he got some very, very bad news one day from the prophet Isaiah. And in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, it tells us, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now that's some bad news, isn't it? You know, and it's not what you want to hear, and I'm sure that wasn't an easy job for Isaiah either. How would you like to be a prophet who's given the message from God to go and deliver to the king, tell him that he's going to die? That wouldn't be very fun, would it? But Isaiah, he always obeyed the Lord, and he did in this case too. He obeyed the Lord, and he went and told Hezekiah, well, you're going to die. God has told me, I've been informed, that you're going to die. But that's not the end of the story. When Hezekiah learned of this, of course, he was quite grieved by that. But he did something that we should all do in our times of distress. He prayed. Verse 2 tells us, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He was obviously very grieved about this, and I suppose most people would be. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. You see, prayer changes things. And when Hezekiah prayed, poured out his heart before the Lord, God heard him. He heard his prayer and he saw his tears. And you know, he hears our prayers also and he sees our tears. He's always there. He hears every prayer. Maybe sometimes they're not answered as quickly as Hezekiah's prayer was answered, but God does answer our prayers. But we see here Hezekiah, he prayed and God heard him, and God, he told him, you will be healed. I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And if you can just imagine the joy that must have flooded King Hezekiah's soul when he was told, I'm giving you more time, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Oh yes, it's amazing how much prayer can change things. Things weren't going so well for Hezekiah, were they? He's told he's going to die and he's got the Assyrians coming after him and so forth. And we know that it was around this time that the Assyrians actually overthrew the northern tribes, Israel, took them captive. So they were now threatening Judah, and of course Hezekiah was very upset about that, and then he was told he was going to die. But now God is telling him, I'm giving you 15 more years. 15 more years. And you know, that's a good thing for Hezekiah, because when this was happening, he wasn't a very old man. In fact, even with those 15 years added, he only lived to be 54 years old. So at this point in time, he was not an old man. But God tells him, I'll give you 15 more years, and I will deliver you from the hand of the king of Assyria. Praise the Lord. And verse 7 tells us, and Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. So, he must have had a boil. And yes, those can be life-threatening at times. They can be very dangerous. But God gave him this simple remedy. All it took was a lump of figs. And of course, the healing power of God. But Isaiah was healed. And verse 8 tells us, and Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? So Hezekiah here, he's asking for a sign from the Lord. Verse 9 tells us, and Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Of course, he's referring to the sundial. It's one of the ways they kept time. And the sun would show its shadow on that sundial, and they would know what time it was. So Isaiah is asking King Hezekiah, all right, would you like God to move time forward or move it back? And of course, when Hezekiah heard that, he said, I want it to go back 10 degrees, not forward 10 degrees. Why is that? Because although it would have been a miracle to see it go forward 10 degrees, it would be a greater miracle to see it go backwards 10 degrees, because time, generally speaking, does not go back. They didn't have daylight saving time back then. They didn't turn back the clocks. But we see here that God was going to turn back the clock on this sundial 10 degrees. And that's what Hezekiah wanted to see, because that was the greater miracle. Verse 10, and Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing. I'm just going to turn my page here. All right. And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. So he's saying, I want the the clock to be turned back 10 degrees. And so that's what God did for him. It tells us in verse 11, in Isaiah, the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Now this was obviously a great miracle. You know, for us, when we want to change the clocks, we just turn a little knob on the back, or some of them you don't even have to do that now. They got atomic clocks which automatically change themselves, but this required moving the sun. That's not easy to do, but God can do it because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And God did that for King Hezekiah as a sign that he would be given 15 more years to live. You know, it's nice to have that extra hour, but can you imagine being given an extra 15 years? And Hezekiah was in a unique position here because he knew, due to the fact that God informed him he would be given 15 more years, he knew exactly, or a close approximation of, I should say, of when he would die. And you know, if you knew that, I think people would be very careful how they spend their time, what they do with their life. And we should be anyway, because we all have a finite amount of time. We don't know how much. None of us know how much we have. But we need to make sure that we don't waste that time. We need to make sure that we redeem that time.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. But we see here that God did a wonderful miracle for King Hezekiah. Verse 11, and Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. And you know, I don't know everything that Hezekiah did after this happened, but he did do some foolish things for sure. As we continue on in this chapter, it tells us about one of the foolish things that King Hezekiah did. Verse 12, at that time, Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. So we see here that Babylon and Israel, well, Judah, I should say, must have been on pretty good terms at the time. The king of Babylon sent an ambassador and a present to King Hezekiah to congratulate him on getting well. And then Hezekiah, he did something so foolish. Verse 13 tells us, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasury and his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. So there's this man from Babylon, and he shows him everything. Everything he had. All of his wealth, and he would have had some wealth because he was a king. Silver and gold and spices and precious ointment. All of his treasures, his house of armor, everything he had. Every valuable thing. And that wasn't a smart thing to do, was it? You know, if a stranger came to your house, would you take him around and, oh, here's the safe, here's the combination, here's all my valuable things? You wouldn't do that, would you? That wouldn't be very smart. But that's essentially what King Hezekiah did. And you know what? Judah would pay a price for that. Verse 14, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried unto Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. That's very sad. You know, the scriptures here, this is interesting because it's actually telling us the chain of events that eventually led to Judah being carried off into Babylon, and it was when Hezekiah made this very foolish mistake. He should have done a better job of redeeming the time that he was given. Those 15 years, I don't know what else he did, but this was a very foolish thing to do. Verse 19 tells us, "Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days?" So in other words, he's saying, well, at least things are going to be peaceful in my days. In the 15 years I have left, at least I know they will be peaceful. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit, and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. And we know that Manasseh was a very evil king. Most of them were. And what I want to do now is we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 38. And Isaiah chapter 38 is going to tell us about the same story we just read, how Hezekiah was healed by God in a mighty way. But it's going to offer some more details, which is why I want to go there too. Isaiah chapter 38, and it's good to know, you know, in the scriptures where you can find these things. So if anybody's wondering where to find this story, not only is it in 2 Kings, but it's also in Isaiah chapter 38. And in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1, it tells us, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And that probably sounds familiar, because we just read pretty much the same thing back in 2 Kings chapter 20. And as I mentioned before, that would have been very disheartening news for King Hezekiah. Nobody wants to hear that. "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city." You know, a lot of times when we have daylight saving time, people will ask, well, what are you going to do with your extra hour? I wonder if anybody asked Hezekiah, what are you going to do with your 15 extra years? That would be a wonderful blessing, wouldn't it? But here again we see that promise, that not only was he going to be given 15 more years of life, but they would be victorious over the king of Assyria. God would defend that city. Verse 7, "And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards, so the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down." And of course we know that Ahaz, he was Hezekiah's father, he was king before him, so that sundial, which was turned back 10 degrees, it must have belonged to his father, and he inherited it. "The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness." This portion we don't find in 2 Kings chapter 20, which is why I wanted to go to Isaiah. Verse 10 tells us, this is King Hezekiah speaking, "I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me. As a shepherd's tent I have cut off like a weaver of my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness from day even to night. Wilt thou make an end of me? I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me." You know, when you're told you're going to die, the normal human reaction to that is to have great sorrow. And we see that that is the case here with King Hezekiah. Verse 14, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things in the life of my spirit, so wilt thou recover me, and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast, in love to my soul, delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. And you know, his tone changes here, doesn't it? And you know, even more important than being given those 15 years, more important was that God had taken his sins away. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And he did the same for us, and he'll do the same for us if any sin remains. Just as we sang a little while ago, he'll take your sins away. Praise the Lord. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. And you know what? We're going to get to do that very same thing. Sing all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. And it is life eternal, life without end. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? And we know that God turned back that sundial 10 degrees, signifying that King Hezekiah would be given more time. Praise the Lord. And you know, as I mentioned, none of us know how much time we have. But it's so important that we redeem the time that we have. It's so important that we don't squander it and waste it. There are so many things in this world that we can waste our time on. Things that just make time melt away. But we need to redeem that time. We need to do something good with our lives by the mercy and the grace of God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and the Apostle Paul is going to tell us something about redeeming the time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 tells us, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And we know that to be true. Jesus Christ gave himself for us. And he bore our burdens, our sins upon himself. And he took our sins away. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You see, saints don't participate in such things. And you know, if you're not a saint now, you're never going to be one when you're dead. We need to be saints now. We need to redeem the time now. Not squander it away, not waste it. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And it's important to give thanks to God. And not just once a year, on Thanksgiving Day, but each and every day, because he has done so much for us. We can't repay him for what he's done for us. How he paid the price for our sins. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And we know that God, Jesus, has an inheritance waiting for us. We've been adopted into His kingdom, the kingdom of His dear Son, the Scripture tells us, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been adopted.
Amen.
And as such, we have an inheritance. But you know what? There aren't going to be any whoremongers in heaven. There aren't going to be unclean people who haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb in heaven. There isn't going to be a covetous man in heaven. There isn't going to be an idolater in heaven. Those people who do those things, despite what they may claim to be, despite whether or not they call themselves Christians, if they participate in such things, they do not have an inheritance. And furthermore, they're wasting their time. They are squandering it. We don't know how much we have, but they are completely wasting it on foolish things. We need to redeem the time. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, if we really are God's children, we need to walk as children of light. Not have fellowship with darkness. Not participate in the evil things of the world. It's amazing to me how many people out there, they say they're Christians, they go to church, they even read the Bible and so forth, but you know what? When October 31st comes along, they take their little children, they dress them up in costumes, and they go out there and trick-or-treat and participate in the devil's day. Halloween. You know what? That's not redeeming the time. That's having fellowship with the works of darkness. And if we are children of the light, we're not supposed to participate in such things. And it's just sad. You know, I was out yesterday. I just happened to be out. I had to run over to the office for a little while. And I also drove over to the lake to pray a while. But as I was driving home, I saw that. And all those parents and their little children just taking them door to door, participating in that trick-or-treating. And, you know, while they're doing that, you know much worse things are going on among the witches and so forth. But thank God we serve a mighty God who can put a stop to all of that, who has been victorious. And He can protect His people also. But, you know, it's just sad to see all of those people participating in such things, and many of them who claim to be Christian. But Christians are not supposed to do such things, are they? We are children of light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And I would say that Halloween, participating in such things, is having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And there are some things that you just don't even want to talk about because they're so bad. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know, there's a lot of people out there who walk around like zombies even when they're not dressed up in a costume as one. And there are a lot of people out there who, spiritually speaking, they are asleep. But it's time to wake up. It's time to rise from that sleep. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So we don't know how much time we have. We really don't. You know, the Lord could come very soon.
Right.
Or we could be one who goes on ahead. We don't know how long we're going to live. But we need to redeem the time. We need to spend that time for God, doing good things for the Lord, not participating in the evil things of this world, having fellowship with darkness. But we need to redeem the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And you know, I know there are a lot of people out there who like to drink, but I can show you many verses. I don't think that's a common thing here, but I know there are people out there. But I can show you many verses where the Scriptures specifically tell us not to get drunk. You're not supposed to do it. And when people do get drunk, they leave themselves vulnerable. They do things they regret, don't they? Sometimes they do things they don't even remember. So we are not to get drunk. The Bible is very clear on that. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So we see we need to redeem the time. We can't waste it. We don't know how much we have, do we? Let's not waste our time. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter is going to tell us how we can redeem the time. First Peter chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." That's how we redeem the time. We cease from sin. We don't have fellowship with darkness anymore. "That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." And you know, there are a lot of people out there, that's how they're spending the rest of their time. In the flesh to the lust of men. That is not redeeming the time, is it? That's wasting the time. And we don't know how much we have. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." See, people who participate in such things, they are not redeeming the time. "Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." Are there any people out there who speak evil of you if you won't participate in what they're doing? Their abominable idolatries, their excess of wine, their revelings, their lasciviousness, their lusts. "They think it strange that ye run not with them." But you know what? People who participate in such things, they are not redeeming the time. "Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead?" You know what? We're all going to have to give account for our lives someday. We're going to stand before the Lord Jesus. And when you do that, are you going to want to tell him that there was lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries? No, that's not how you want to spend your time. We want to be able to stand before the Lord Jesus and tell him, "Lord, I spent my life living for you." Verse 6, For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And you know, it says the gospel preached also to them that are dead. What does it mean there? Those who that were spiritually dead. As we once were, but the Lord Jesus has made us alive. And we walk in the Spirit. We live according to God in the Spirit. We're redeeming the time, aren't we? But that's why the gospel was preached to them that are dead. It was preached to us. And there are a lot of people out there, as we read back in Ephesians, a lot of people out there who are spiritually dead. They're asleep. And so the gospel is preached to them. You know, you can't preach the gospel to someone who has passed on from this world to the next. A point in time comes when it's too late and there is no more opportunity to redeem the time. And I don't know, maybe the Mormons think you can do that. They baptize for the dead, but you can't. That doesn't do any good. Once we leave this earth, it's too late. There is no more time to redeem. And that's why we must praise the Lord and thank the Lord that the gospel was preached to us when we were spiritually dead. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And like I said, we don't know how much time we have, but we need to watch and pray. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that should be our number one concern, bringing glory to the Lord Jesus. Worshiping Him, praising Him, doing everything we do for His cause. That's redeeming the time. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You know, sometimes we go through hard times. Sometimes we suffer a lot, don't we? I know lately a lot of us have had sicknesses and health problems and many other trials. But I tell you what, in this world, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulations, and that doesn't just apply for the people of God. There are people out there who are going to have trouble. In fact, everyone is going to have trouble at some point in their lives. And since we're going to have trouble anyway, trials, we might as well have them for a good reason. For the cause of Christ. Verse 14. I'll read 13 again. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. And we remember the story when Paul and Silas were in Philippi and they were whipped and beaten and thrown in jail. They were suffering for the cause of Christ, but what did they do? They sang, they praised God, they worshipped Him at midnight. And you know what? There was a great earthquake and their shackles fell off them. The power of God was revealed, and because of that a church was born. And we never know what our sufferings might lead to. But in that case, the sufferings of Paul and Silas led to the birth of a church. And I, you know, someday you might ask them. I believe you'll have the opportunity. You can ask them, was it worth it? And they'll say, oh yes, it was worth everything. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? You know, for those who refuse to obey the gospel, it's not going to be pretty. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Praise the Lord. So we put aside our sins, we let the Lord Jesus take them away, and we redeem the time. We don't know how much time we have. We really don't. But we do know that we have right now.
We're not promised tomorrow. None of us are. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But right now, we have right now. We can redeem the time now. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. And this is a beautiful chapter in Isaiah. One of my favorites. Of course, I like them all, but this one is wonderful. Isaiah chapter 55, and we are going to see an invitation from the Lord given by Isaiah his prophet. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, it tells us, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." You know, the good things of God, we don't have to pay physical money for those things. I know some churches out there might try to lead you to the contrary and say, oh, you gotta put such and such an amount in a basket and we need your pledges and so forth. And, you know, a lot of those ministers out there, they're very wealthy, aren't they? Worth millions upon millions and millions of dollars. You know what, though? When we pass out the basket here, everything you put in that basket is used for the upkeep of the church. That's what we use that for. And we're thankful that we're able to do that. But we see here, here's an invitation from the Lord. He's saying, you're not going to need physical money for these good things from God. And that's, you know, the wine and the milk. It represents the good things that God has for us. Verse 2, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." And you know, every time we open God's word, we are feasting on manna from heaven. "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." It is an everlasting covenant that God's people have with him today. And yes, that includes us. An everlasting covenant. When we make it to heaven, that's a covenant that doesn't end. It's an eternal day without a night. An everlasting day. Verse 4, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee." And where did that all start? Well, I'll tell you, when that day when all those nations flowed together, it all began on the day of Pentecost. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 2. How there were people from all nations all over the place. And they spake in tongues and people heard those that worship and that praise in their own tongue. In their own language. The wonderful things of God. And that's where it all began. But verse 6 tells us, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And he is near right now. In fact, he's right here with us. He can be found today. So we must seek the Lord now. We must seek him now because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know how much time we have, but we must redeem the time we do have. And we must seek the Lord now. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Praise the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful promise? If we will forsake our evil ways, our wicked ways, our sins, it tells us here that the Lord will abundantly pardon. He will have mercy upon us. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And you know, a lot of times we'll go out there and we'll tell people all about the Lord, we'll share the gospel, and it may not seem like anything happens. It may not seem like there's any kind of a reaction. And sometimes we wonder, well, the scriptures tell us that God's word won't return void. But you know, sometimes years and years down the line, those people, they'll remember what you said, and they'll come to the Lord. That seed was planted that day. But you know what? Sometimes the person that's changed is us.
Amen.
Sometimes it is us that that word works upon. Oh, yes, we know that the word of God does not return void. And sometimes it's we who are changed by the word of God, even as we share it with others. Verse 12, "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off."
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
But we know there is that everlasting kingdom. And I know we all want to be part of that kingdom. So it's important that we redeem the time. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Because in heaven, where God dwells, there is no time. There's no time. He doesn't have time. He created time for us, for our benefit. And we only have a finite amount of that. We don't know how much, but we need to redeem the time. Because one fine day, there will be no more time. Let's go to Revelation chapter 10 in closing, just for a very short portion of Scripture. Revelation 10, verse 1 tells us, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." And that day is coming when there will be no more time. So we must redeem the time now. Because how are you going to redeem the time if there is no time? So now is the time to seek the Lord to redeem the time. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness, for thy mercy, for cleansing us from our sins, for thy many wonderful promises. And we pray, O God, for thy wisdom, thy direction. We pray that thy will would be done in our lives. We pray for thy strength so that we may redeem the time. For none of us know how much time we have, but we seek to serve thee, Lord, to the very best of our abilities. And I pray that thou wouldst move upon us. Fill us all with thy spirit. Let us work for thee. For we know that the day is coming when no man can work. And we pray, O God, that thy spirit would be upon each and every one of us. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost, and we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I suppose we should sing a chorus. I'm just not sure which one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Well, you know what? Why don't we sing number 44? Give unto the Lord, because, you know, that's one of the ways we redeem the time, by giving whatever we can to the Lord. It doesn't have to be money necessarily, but we do need to give Him our hearts. We do need to give Him our time. Number 44, give unto the Lord.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.